We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The real story right now, Evan, Mark Sanchez would like to see Sam Darnold out of New York. Quote, as soon as he goes three and out two times this year, his ass is getting booed out of the stadium. It's not fair to the kid.
Ugh.
Look, that's a guy that would know.
Yeah, but wait a second. That's not the reason to get rid of him. I mean, I understand Mark's opinion. I respect Mark's opinion. I understand he's coming from a perspective that we don't have. That is not a reason for the New York Jets to trade him.
He's not saying that. He's saying Sam, what he's saying is Sam Darnold should want out.
Yeah, no, I get that part.
Yeah.
I understand that. Look, and I think for Sam, it depends where he ends up. I mean, Sam looks at the last few years and sees a mess. He had a mess of a head coach. He had a mess of an offensive line in front of him, and he had no weapons, and he underperformed. So I get it from Sam's perspective, but to me, the reason I'd move on from Sam Darnold is if I feel I have a better option. And that's what the job of Joe Douglas is to figure out.
It seems like if they get an offer that's in the ballpark that they view his worth, they will make that trade.
I think they will.
Like, and if not, there's no reason not to hang on to him. He's not making any money.
My only point is this. The booing of Sam Darnold, which is a complete hypothetical of how the crowd would treat him in a situation next year, has no bearing as a fan on what the Jets should do. You know what I mean? Mark's looking at it, and I get why, from a player perspective. A perspective of, I've dealt with New York. I've dealt with the highs, back-to-back championship games. I've dealt with the downs. But that doesn't phase my view or any Jet fans' view on what they should do
with
Sam Darnold.
Because of Mark Sanchez's experience, he feels for the kid. There's also USC connection, whatever it is. So they probably have some kind of personal relationship. You know, maybe mentor type of deal. So I think what he's saying is, look, I want to see him out of New York because I want to see the kid have a chance to excel. You know,
he could have a chance to excel here.
Yeah,
if the draft picks all go right. But if the Jets make the decision, and I do not think Joe Douglas is going to do it, but hey, we'll go down the road for 30 seconds, that they're going to keep Sam and they use the number two pick on a Heisman Award-winning wide receiver and they use cap space to beef up the line, give more weapons for Sam. Sam could have a really good chance to succeed with this team next year. It could be an ideal situation.
Except that
him.
They don't believe in him anymore.
Well he's not going to get that opportunity.
It's not they, because it's a new coach. The new coach has said everything right about Sam Darnold because he's trying to keep his trade value at a certain level. You know, if Robert Saleh comes in and goes, that was the easiest guy in the world to game plan against, which he's not going to do.
Right.
Sam Darnold's not playing for the Jets anymore.
No, I don't think he will either.
Yeah, let's just come to terms with that.
And I think a part of that, though, is natural for a new general manager, and Joe Douglas is still relatively new, and he didn't draft Sam Darnold, and a new head coach to want, quote-unquote, their guy. That's a natural thing. It happens throughout the National Football League, and I do think that's a factor in this decision they're going to make.
Here's Greg in Red Bank on the Fan. Greg, good afternoon. How are you?
What's up, guys? How you
What's
doing?
Up with you, kid?
So I'm the owner of the Bagel Nook. I heard LaPresti talking about Oreo bagels earlier today.
Now, is it Oreo is the cream cheese Oreo-based, or is the bagel Oreo-based?
Well, we have both. We have an Oreo bagel infused with Oreo pieces, and we have an Oreo cream cheese.
Wow, I'm intrigued by this.
Trying to figure out why it's not in front of me right now.
Can I ask you a question, Greg? Do you put Oreos inside the bagel, too, to spice it up? Is that an option?
Now you're asking about a secret recipe, man.
See?
I'm sorry. Evan. I apologize.
All right. Well, CeeLo's a big fan, so next time he comes in, make sure to say hi and take a picture with him, okay?
Yeah, man. We have a location in Princeton.
Well, I can't get into all that. Although, I'm totally supportive. Love the fact that he respects you guys as the best bagel place in his hometown. And I'll put you on hold so I can get CeeLo in touch with you guys. But you keep doing what you do because everybody seems to love you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I'd love to bring you guys some stuff.
Well, I'm not going to stop you from doing that, of course. Full spread, lox, cream cheese, tomatoes, onions, no capers, and a variety of bagels would be fantastic. Hold on one sec. Tommy, take care of that.
Do you want the secret recipe? Do you want the Oreos in the bagel?
I wouldn't eat it.
Why?
Not my thing.
What?
I don't want an Oreo cooked into my bagel. I think we get crazy with the bagels. Bagels should be very simple to me. There's only 6 bagels that should ever be made.
So you don't want the Oreo bagel?
I want the Oreo cream cheese. Okay. I have no interest in...
Why would you be against an Oreo bagel?
Because a bagel should be plain, salt, poppy,
sesame.
Everything.
Yeah.
Onion.
You're forgetting one.
I'll give you the egg bagel if it makes you happy.
Egg bagel's a big bagel.
I'll give you the egg bagel.
Okay.
And that's it.
What about raisin?
No.
Okay.
I agree. Cinnamon raisin.
I agree. I just want to putting it out there for anyone else who was thinking that.
Cinnamon raisin bagel's a dessert. It's not a bagel.
What's the Mount Rushmore bagel flavors?
I just gave you the 7.
That's 7. Mount Rushmore is 4, bro.
Plain, salt, poppy, sesame. Done.
No. Disagree with that.
Well, listen, you can disagree all you want. You can like what you like. Feel free.
I just
you like the egg bagel.
Everything.
But there's not
egg.
Yeah.
Sesame, plain.
Okay.
Bang.
All good.
Boom.
But there's only 7 bagels that should ever be made. It's pointless. The rest of it's just
wow, so you're anti-Oreo bagel?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of... I don't want an Oreo bagel. I have no interest.
If I'm looking Oreo, at a picture of it. I'm curious about it.
I'll eat an Oreo. I'll eat a bagel. I don't need the Oreo in the bagel.
You know what I think would be really interesting, and maybe this is the secret recipe, to put the cream instead of the cream cheese in the middle of an Oreo bagel. Boom. You've just created a super Oreo.
Why don't you eat a Max Stuff Oreo?
Because this is better.
I don't believe that it is.
Well, but you've never tried it.
Neither have you.
That's true. I'm making an assumption here, aren't I?
You are, yeah. Here's Artie in Brooklyn on the fan. Artie, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm sorry to switch the topic on you. I heard you talking about dad bringing up the kids and stuff.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out what it was like being the father, who sadly passed away today, of a guy like Wayne Gretzky. Like, how is it difficult? Is it easy? Does it change all your parenting rules and techniques because you know you have someone who's a savant at something that you're not? That's all.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I only have one, and he's 18 now, but when he was born, I'm a phys ed teacher, so you're thinking, and I'm so passionate with sports and stuff like that. I'm thinking about, like, my friends taking their kids and all that. And when he was 4, I read a book on Agassi and how his dad...
Right. Talked about him earlier. He's basically abusive. Yeah.
Had the machine. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I take my son. He gets hit in the eye. Never wants to play tennis again. Goes to school. His teacher somehow convinces him to play. They use foam balls, these big rackets. Here I am, a phys ed teacher. I couldn't figure that part out. Right. So then I'm coaching in high school. I said, you know, George, you want to play? My dream is to coach you. He goes, Dad, you scream at me at home. You want to scream at me at school, too? And now I looked up this guy, and I want you to, I got to get your opinion, Craig, because I hear all your stories on the kids, and I'm like a little jealous on the fact, like, you know, you watch your kids and all that. And there's a guy, he won Mr. Universe twice.
Yes.
Right? And this guy, when he asked the kids, what do you want to do? They said, play football. He goes, okay, well, we're playing football. We're going all out. This kid, this guy has all 3 kids. He changed his name. He used to be Brown. He didn't want them to have, like, this stereotype. He calls him St. Brown. He changed his name to St. Brown. All 3 kids, Ivy League schools, 4.0 index, and play what? One of them plays for the NFL, and the other 2 are going to play. And I'm going, this guy pressured him and stuff. I'm the guy that goes, don't worry about it. You can just don't worry. Winning's not everything. And I got a guy that doesn't want to play any sports. I want to know is what is the typical cheater father like? I saw the documentary.
I think the typical dad of a guy that becomes a great athlete, professional athlete, is an unassuming, you know, stay out of the way, laid back, supportive kind of guy. There are other kinds who, you know, the browbeating types, and I think their kids largely don't make it. Now, there's obviously examples. Tiger Woods' dad was abusive. You know, Andre Agassi's dad was abusive. But those are literally diamonds in the rough that happened to make it anyway. And I think, you know, Derek Jeter's dad, the most unassuming, laid back, out of your way, out of your face personality of any guy you ever met.
Yeah.
But his son was born with a gift. The question is, as a parent, what do you do? Especially when you have multiple kids and only one of them has the gift or the drive or the want to. It's a very tough call for a parent.
Derek's father, I remember reading about Derek's father. He played baseball back in the day, but he was also like a psychologist. So I think you're right.
Maybe he had a better understanding of it.
Right, but I think there's your combination of, I've played baseball.
Yeah.
Probably gets your son to say, I want to play baseball too, just like my dad, but also wasn't that, you know, pushy, I'm going to put it on you. Probably had a better understanding of it.
Yeah, I think most parents are probably cool like that. You know, we live in a different era right now also because of the camera phones and the technology where, you know, every kid's got a Huddle account now. Every father and mother are now the PR agents for their kids.
Right.
Like if you go to YouTube right now, I don't even have to look, I know it's there. Mm-hmm. And you write best, I'm going to make it up. Do it for me. I'm not going to do it.
Best?
If you write best U11 and then pick a sport and write player after it.
Baseball player.
Yeah.
All right. I found out about...
How many? I mean, it's endless, correct?
There's a lot of them.
Yep.
I got a kid who had 5 home runs in a row during a baseball tournament.
Because now the parents are already representing the kids publicly because their kid's going to be the next Willie Mays. Bill's in Yorktown on the fan. Billy, good afternoon. How are you? Hello, Bill. Bill? Come on. I know you want to take a shot. Take it. Oh. Did you get nervous, Bill? Did you get nervous?
What was Bill going to do?
Did you get nervous? Did you wet your diaper? Aww.
He screamed at me for about 5 minutes, so
I just put him on the air.
So I can tell you what he wanted to talk about.
I know. He called and I pushed the button.
I folded
my arms.
I saw it.
He hung up because, wow.
I got the brunt of it.
You got the brunt of it.
I got the brunt.
He feels bad for Evan.
He's upset at
feels
you.
Feels bad about me.
He wants us to talk more sports. Why are we talking about the DH? I said, well, you could call Evan tomorrow. Which I think is fair.
I'm sorry. I wish he'd come back.
If he calls back, if he's listening, we'll put him
right on. Don't you have his number? Doesn't his number show up?
Let me look.
His number showed up. Call him back.
Kind of a shot at me, but you're right about that.
Yeah, exactly.
About the DH.
Yeah, we should spend 3 hours talking about the DH.
I am not going to spend 3 hours on the DH tomorrow. I promise you.
Bill in Yorktown happy. Because it's like, because again, that's the problem with people today. I want, I want, I want. You talk about what I want. Like it's a jukebox. A7.
DH.
DH. We will now talk about the DH. I am for it. He is against it. Universal DH. Please put another quarter in the machine. DH. I am for it. He is against it. We will now continue the conversation. Do you like it? Are you against it? Does it help the New York Mets if there is a universal DH? Please place another quarter in the machine. All-star lineup selection yesterday. Do you like the draft? Do you not like the draft? Were they mean to the two players from Utah? Baltimore has a Fregazi new rule for overtime. Please discuss it. Talk sports.
I just got another Evan Saturday caller here, too, if we want to take
him. Why are you making fun of my guys? He wanted to discuss
the Celtics-Nets and preview the Eastern Conference Finals in March. What do we want to do?
10:27 tomorrow, pal.
This is Bill in Yorktown. I hate your show.
Hung up now.
You guys don't talk about sports enough. How come you're not talking about the DH? I turn on the station. I'm expecting DH talk wall to wall because it says Sports Radio 101.9 FM The Fan. I expected to get sports talk. Did you see what the women volleyball team did in Nebraska yesterday? That's sports.
Yuck.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Did you see the Antoine Walker story?
Which one? Because I know he's been talking lately.
So remember when Michael Jordan was announced that he was coming back to play basketball?
Yes.
Supposedly that was going to happen at a different time. And maybe even a different day, according to Antoine Walker. That the day and time that it was originally scheduled for, according to Antoine Walker was involved in a 13-hour marathon game of spades, which is a card game, with Michael Jordan. And because the game was such high stakes and was going on for hours and hours, Michael Jordan wasn't going to get up and walk away from the table until there was a winner and a loser.
Right. No,
so according to Antoine Walker, Michael blew off the original time that the announcement was scheduled for because he didn't want to walk away from the game of spades.
Yeah, that's very believable.
Which is crazy.
But that's Michael.
Like, he's coming back to the NBA. Not yet, he's not.
There are so many legendary Michael gambling stories. There's one part of it that's a little unbelievable, though, and it's not the part with Jordan. It's the part that Antoine Walker is the one playing with him.
You think that's fascinating?
I find it very fascinating.
Well, that's before he lost all his money, obviously.
Well, it's also before he was in the NBA.
Oh, is that the year?
Yes. He was at Kentucky when that happened.
Wow.
Antoine Walker.
He wasn't in the NBA?
Fact check me. Antoine Walker was not in the NBA in 1995.
Well, then how is Antoine Walker putting up the stakes that Jordan's got? That's got to be off then.
Dude.
Right?
I'm telling you right now.
Doesn't that have to be off a little bit then?
When did Antoine Walker get drafted? He wasn't in the NBA in 1995 when Michael was making his comeback. Now, two things could happen here about this story. Number one, Antoine Walker as this stud college hoops player.
Antoine Walker's first season was 96.
Thank you. Okay. And when did Jordan come back? A year earlier. So, here's where it could be true.
Then the story.
Wait a second. He is still in college, even though he's underage, can't technically be gambling. I don't know. Maybe Michael Jordan was taking a college star under his wing.
And I said 13-hour. I apologize. It was a 36-hour game of spades. The money on the table almost hit seven-figure digits at one point.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. I'll make sure I have. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I gave the wrong year.
No. You didn't do anything wrong.
Maybe I mistold the story. I thought I had read it right.
I don't think you mistold the story. I think Antoine Walker is either lying, telling it from the wrong date because he wants to make the story better, or maybe as a teenager, he was trying to
make
MJ.
A suggestion?
Go ahead.
Is it when he came back to play for Washington in 01-02 and not when he came back to play for the Bulls?
So Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden were joined by four members, star Antoine Walker. They had a high-stakes spades game at a restaurant for 36 hours.
Crazy.
Okay?
Yeah.
Mike calls, the bind goes up a little higher. It's 20 grand just to get in.
Mm-hmm.
They played for 36 hours. At one point, they were down 900 grand.
Wow.
It was Michael and Antoine as a team. Spades is a four-man game, two-on-two.
Right.
And it was Michael and Antoine Walker and two other, I guess, random guys.
Okay.
So they're down $900,000. Here it is. Jordan was set to announce that he was returning to the Chicago Bulls.
Chicago Bulls?
After a brief minor league baseball stint.
That's 95.
So Jordan's funding the team because they're on the same team.
Yeah, no money.
Spades is a team game.
Right. So so he took a teenager gambling. I don't know if that's the headline, but that's the reality if you follow the story.
He tells more about the money.
Okay.
I was leaving for Boston in a couple days. I had about 100 grand in cash. I was always a cash person. MJ had 200 grand on him, but he sent for another $500,000. The other guys we played against had money too. They had us down 900 grand. We got back all the money except for 20,000. Mike didn't want to see them win 20 grand, so he refused to let the game stop. We ended up winning $180,000, and Mike, who was falling asleep. Oh, no, excuse me. The other team wound up winning 180 grand because Michael fell asleep at the table.
Yeah.
So they had it down to 20. This is called addiction. This is what it looks like. I've lived it.
Mm.
Right? You get down to 20, it's not enough. I got to get to zero, and then I got to win some.
Right.
So they were down 900 grand, got it down to 20, walk away, wipe your hands. But because he's Michael Jordan and the most competitive son of a bitch on the planet, you're not leaving with my 20 grand. They took 180 from him. There you go.
Yeah.
Look, How about this? You're going to love this. When Jordan needed the extra $500,000, because the guys wanted to know, this is a cash game, we got to see the cash to continue. Okay. When Jordan needed the extra $500,000, how did he get it? He sent his nephew to retrieve the cash out of his golf bag.
Wow.
So Michael
had how much cash in his golf bag at this moment?
He had at least $500,000 in cash in his bag because he was probably playing for cash on the golf course.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, there are so many probably unknown MJ stories.
I thought what I did was crazy, and it was, and stupid. Wow.
MJ's on another level. The problem is, unfortunately, Antoine Walker's story has a lot of holes in it. Just that's his fault.
Why is the story of holes?
Because he wasn't going to Boston in 1995. So I believe the Jordan stuff, and maybe Walker's just remembering it wrong, but there's holes all over the story. He wasn't in the NBA.
Yeah, I honestly think he's got the return confused.
That's fine. If that's the case,
then it's
right.
When he was coming back to play for Washington.
It was either not in 1995 or he's just remembering it completely incorrectly.
Because there's no way. You're right. How would he have $100,000 on him?
He wasn't in the NBA yet.
Yeah, I mean guys, signing bonuses, guys will give you money because you know you're going
to
be good for it.
He returned at the middle of the 94-95 season.
No. But here's where the story doesn't make sense on Antoine's part. He said he was returning to Boston. He wasn't even drafted by the Celtics.
He said I was leaving for Boston in a couple of days.
He was still at Kentucky.
So here's the thing.
He's remembering it wrong. I believe the story. I don't think it's all a lie. I think he's completely remembering it wrong because it doesn't back up
the
like,
year
real
doesn't
facts.
Support. No, so it might be a BS story is what you're saying.
No, I believe it. I think C-Mac's probably right that maybe it was the Wizard return.
Yeah, but why would he say it took place when he was... You think Antoine just conflated the two?
Antoine Walker wasn't in the NBA
at
this time.
You think he just... His memory got screwy?
Had to have been. Unless you think he made the whole thing up. You think he made the whole thing up?
No, because Jordan could quickly, easily come out, or someone come out and say it's BS, or there's too many people involved that could say yes or no to it, I think.
Yeah.
Including Jordan's nephew.
I think it's a clear case of misremembering the dates.
Okay.
That's all.
Probably.
Because I do believe the story. I mean, think about all the stuff we've already heard about
Michael
Jordan.
I was Joey Styles in 95. It was 94.
Right.
So you can miss a date. The date could be off.
Did you see Paul Heyman went after you again?
No.
You didn't see this last night?
How would I have seen it? I don't follow wrestling.
He tweeted at you. And he tweeted at me.
I didn't see it.
Let me read you.
Do I want to see it now? What is it? Now what, cockamamie nonsense are they coming up with?
I mean, let me find it, then I'll read it to you. But it was about you, and it was about Joey Styles, and there was a retort.
Go ahead.
I got to find it now. It was from last night, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I don't care that much.
No, I'd forget it.
It's not that big.
All right, here it is. This is a combination throwback Thursday in Breaking News Post. Joey Styles has agreed to return to the world of sports entertainment, and he will be using the name Craig Carton.
There you go.
Uh-oh, hashtag credibility.
Oh, yeah. Paul has none.
And then there's a picture of young Paul Heyman and a young Joey Styles trying to be really intimidating.
Yeah, he scares me. Ooh.
So, yeah, that
Ooh.
Was the tweet, yeah.
Yeah.
Joey's coming back as Craig Carton.
There you go. Here's Bobby in Connecticut on the fan. Robert, how are you?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, kid?
I just want to say congratulations on the new show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
And Billy, in Yorktown, you suck just like Paul Heyman.
There you go. Good job, Robert. Appreciate it, buddy. That's right. There's a small but very powerful army out there. Here's John in Danbury. Johnny, good afternoon.
Hey, guys. Quick, just staying on the topic of Michael Jordan for a second.
Yeah.
I'm more of a baseball and a football fan, but growing up in Boston, I honestly been to like two NBA games in my life. And one of the games was Jordan's third game back, second or third game back after his retirement in 95.
Yeah.
He came to, he played in Boston. It was the night they retired Reggie Lewis's number. And, it was pretty cool just to see
there
him
you
in
go. That's an iconic moment for at least Boston, sure.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was 17 at the time, so it was awesome. But Craig, I wanted to welcome you back because it's, you and Evan are like so are awesome. You, the dynamic is incredible. And honestly, when I moved from Boston in 08, to be completely honest, I wasn't super impressed with the New York sports talk radio. Like Boston is really really good, and I didn't to be honest, I didn't like you that much in the morning when it first started. But then I really learned to like you. I've always been a fan of Evan. And I love how you guys talk about random stuff. You had me, like, rolling when you were talking about, like, how Evan ate a pot brownie once and you were giving him a hard time. Like, his girlfriend, you know, offered, and he, like, he's never eaten one since, which I think you should reconsider that. But, like, I love that stuff. And so you guys, so I wanted to say that, I had a... This is gonna sound weird, but I guess I've enjoyed your show so much, Greg. You were in my dream the other night.
Oh boy!
So me and you worked at this like half. It was kind of bizarre, obviously, but it was like half summer camp, half gas station. And then we jumped on this big tractor with these huge wheels on the back to go home. And then when we got home, we were talking to your wife, and I've never seen your wife, but she was really good looking, and she was just sitting in the pantry. And me and you were right with her, and that was the whole dream. I know it's completely
so weird because I had the same exact dream about you last night.
I thought that you'd appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate it, John. Wow, strange as that was, I do appreciate that we're in your dreams.
Wow.
Yes, that means the world
to us. A tractor with huge wheels, pantries.
That's right.
Gas station.
And my wife.
And your wife.
Who is hot.
Yeah. I was afraid how that was going to end, by the way.
I wasn't. I can't stand up right now. I'll take an F on that, ma'am. Sorry, I have no answers for you. Mr. Carton, could you please come to the chalkboard? No, ma'am. I'm pretty good over here. The wind blew in a certain direction. It happens. What do I do?
So sorry.
Here's Brian in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Congratulations.
Oh. All right. Looking forward to May 3rd. Yeah, yeah. Or as close as we can get to May 3rd.
So, yeah, speaking of wrestling, I was wondering if Evan ever thought about challenging your competition. I know there's a Peter Rosen something that claims he's a 24/7 champ, and I was wondering if there's any talks maybe of doing a cross like Mayweather-type Pacquiao-type.
Oh. Big, huh? Evan, have you ever considered wrestling anybody in particular?
The last time I've ever had a wrestling match, I didn't want to say, was about 20 years ago.
Oh, so...
Didn't go very well.
No?
But I did know how to, I know how to execute the sharpshooter.
There you go.
I do have that
going. So you've never given that any consideration?
No, unfortunately.
Violence is never the answer, friends.
No.
Violence is never the answer.
No.
Unless somebody, breaks into your house.
Well, the violence...
Then I think you should be allowed to do whatever the hell you want.
Violence is the answer in self-defense. Now, that's when it's the answer.
Like, don't you think if a guy breaks into your house, you should be allowed to, tie him up?
Yes.
Duct tape him?
Yes.
And torture him?
Well,
shouldn't that be
torture?
Shouldn't that be allowed? Oh, it's so funny. Look at you now.
Yeah.
Like, guy literally breaks into your house, wants to steal your stuff, hurt your family, but you get to jump on him. You get him down, you tie him up, hog tie him. You know, don't you think you torture him? Is that not allowed?
I don't think that's allowed, no.
What's the rule on that?
It's at least frowned upon.
Yes.
Is there a rule on that? Can we check Legal Dictionary on that? Torture rules, is torturing allowed?
Yeah, it's hard to claim self-defense once you duct tape someone to a chair.
Right.
Because now they're no longer a threat
to you. What would you do?
What if you leave? What if you say, look, I'll give you the right hand. Your right hand will be free. Swing it.
You might have to give him a weapon in that hand. Like, give him a butter knife or something.
Then you can torture him.
But what exactly would you do to torture somebody? So you've got them tied up. Now what?
Well, I think tickle torture is the beginning.
So you're going tickle.
No. I think you start off so they think it's because it's going to be fun and games.
Are you blasting Nickelback music or something?
No, I'm going all in.
So what do you mean?
Give me an example. Cutting toes off.
Oh, you're going violent.
Shoving things under fingernails.
What's that horrific movie you made me watch? Where they cut the ear off.
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir, oh God.
Yeah.
Would you go full Reservoir Dogs?
I don't think I could bring myself to cut a human being's ear off, honestly. But I could do a lot of other things. I think I could at least. Oh, does that burning ember hurt? It sounds to me like you're in pain. I could be wrong. It sounds to me like that's very hot, and it smells like your skin is burning. I'm no expert, but that's got to be very uncomfortable.
Has this ever happened, Greg? Has there ever been a situation in which maybe there was a little bit of torture going on?
No.
There's no story you want to bring up right now? There was no situation. Well, 1997. I don't know. I'm asking you.
Oh, no. I have no torture story. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. No, I do not.
No celebrity that you happened to meet.
That I tortured or got tortured by? No. Although I did meet Carmen Electra once.
How'd that go?
Pretty well. Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, she was on the show.
And then what?
We were going to go have drinks at one point.
Really?
Which show was this?
But it never materialized. I just got the sense that she doesn't say no to about anything.
Mm.
Plus, it was post-Dennis Rodman.
Post.
You know, so I was like, you know, if it was post-Navarro but pre-Rodman, I could probably mentally, even that was a non-starter, to be honest.
Uh-huh. She didn't go out with you, bro.
What happened?
She didn't go out with you. You could frame this however you want. Oh, it was post-Rodman. It was this. It was that.
Yeah.
She decided not to ride the Carton train. That's
all. There's no train. There's nothing to ride.
Okay.
I think we had an event or something. Hey, you should come to the event. We could have drinks. Yeah, I'd love to. Where is it? And then I remember Dave Navarro and what a pig he is. And then I thought about Dennis Rodman. And God knows what that guy's done. And then it was like, no, go ahead, Boomer, go without me.
Just kidding. That never happened.
Here is Andy in Summit. Andy, you're on the fan. How are you? Uh-huh. You got to be kidding me. You were with Carmen Electra also? There is no way that you have that same story. Sean's in New Jersey on the fan. Hi, Sean.
Craig, Evan, congratulations on the contract with the TV boys.
Okay, thank you.
I think we're missing the finer points here with that Jordan story. Just because the years that you're saying, he went to Kentucky. It was in 1995. He was a high-class player. That was right in the prime time of payola for players.
No, that part is a factor. When we try to figure out the timeline on this story, it is possible that a 19-year-old Antoine Walker got into a casino, had a lot of money, and was able to gamble. That's a possibility.
This wasn't a casino, dude.
Where was it?
This is a private game in a restaurant.
So then the age doesn't even matter, then.
No, this is not a casino. This is an underground game.
So then the fact he's 19 or 18 doesn't matter. We're never going to ID him anyway.
No. Okay. The money he probably had was from getting paid off.
I agree.
That's possible.
I agree. Plus, don't forget, Jordan's carrying him financially in this game.
You walk anywhere with Jordan, people are going to be like, this
guy's
got a credit
line.
Yeah,
this was a deal where Antoine Walker was, listen, they said they were down 900 grand. Antoine admitted he only had 100. So who do you think was paying the debt?
Right. Oh, no. When you look at this story, that's why when you ask me, do I think the story is true? Of course I do. I just don't know, did he mess up the timeline or was it a 19-year-old college Antoine Walker? It could have been a college Antoine Walker.
Very well could have been.
Very possible.
And it's very well that he could have had money.
Right.
It's just like we talk about with that, was it BLC? The group that gives minor league ball players money?
Oh, yeah, where they front you money.
I mean, it could have been a guy willing to give Antoine Walker a couple hundred in cash.
It could have been Kentucky paying.
Could have been Calipari.
I mean, it could have been as anything.
Right.
You know?
Could have been a booster. Antoine, here's a hundo. Do what you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, all that is definitely possible. I wouldn't rule any of that stuff out. That was Patino back then.
Was it Patino?
Yeah. Which makes all of this, you know, very possible.
He's at Iona, call him up. Yo, Ricky P.
Were you paying Antoine in 96?
Are you aware of Antoine Walker walking around with 100K in cash playing spades with Michael Jordan?
Imagine if this whole thing is true, right? The timetable's correct. Teenager Antoine Walker, college player, good one, is hanging out. Forget even the gambling part.
Yeah.
You're hanging out with Michael Jordan.
Well.
Damn.
Sixth round pick, I think Antoine was.
Damn.
Right?
But still, I mean, you are hanging out with Antoine Walker.
With the retired Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but, I mean, everybody knew he was coming back.
Yes.
When he retired that 1 year or year and a half, we knew he was coming
back. Somebody had to film Space Jam. What was he going to do, play basketball and film Space Jam? That wasn't going to happen. But that's it is a great story, right?
Oh, yeah.
The only other story that I think we might come close is the Gilbert Arenas story. Where they were playing cards on a plane.
Was that
after
the gun
game.
Story?
Yeah. And he pulled a gun on a dude.
Yeah.
Because they were playing high stakes. I don't know if it was spades or what the game was. But they were playing high stake cards. The way it used to be, as it was explained to me, was when the plane takes off, you know, a couple minutes after takeoff, once the pilot's at that cruising altitude, the game begins because, you know, the tables are flat.
Right.
And the rule of thumb always was when the wheels hit the ground and you play that last round of the game, you pay up. That's it. Game over. For the flights.
Right.
Because this was at a restaurant. So it's a separate deal. They played for 36 hours. The plane gambling was wheels up, wheels down. Mm. And whatever you owe, you owe. Now, no, if there's a deal where you lost so much you don't carry that kind of cash, you know, a guy would usually give you 24 hours. But at Gilbert Arenas, you know, busted out a gun.
Yeah, but if you remember, it wasn't even that much money. Like, we weren't, now, a lot of money for me, maybe, and a lot of people listening, but I think it was $1,000, which, you know, we're not talking $800,000. And so it was probably deeper that Gilbert Arenas pulled out a gun, and I forget who the other guy involved was back in the Wizards days.
It was Javaris Crittenden.
Crittenden, right.
Yeah.
And because Caron Butler once talked about this, I think the figure that was being discussed was $1,000.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe.
It's not that hard to believe because think about the egos involved.
Geno Smith got punched in the mouth over like a $500 flight.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's not necessarily the money. That could have been two guys who probably didn't even like each other to begin with.
So as the true part of that story, I don't know if this part's ever been told. At least as it was told to me. So let me just say, you know, this is obviously like a fifth-hand story. Is that Crittenden didn't pay him whatever the debt was.
Right.
That it wasn't that Gilbert Arenas came out and pointed a gun at him and said, give me my effing money. The story as I was told it, and you could maybe look this up, was that when they got to the locker room, whatever the next situation was that they're in the locker room, that Gilbert Arenas put four unloaded weapons at the foot of Javaris's locker and left a note and said, pay the debt or pick one.
Oh, jeez.
Because he did not. I don't believe he pointed a loaded gun at him.
Right.
But you'd have to check that or Google that or something.
Yeah.
That was my understanding was the threat was with an unloaded weapon, but there were four of them.
So you're right. He said,
is that
hey,
right?
MF, come pick one. But then he also said, I'm going to shoot your blank with one of these.
Oh, okay.
So it goes on to say more things.
So there you go. Well,
here's how it continues. Oh, no, you don't need to shoot me with one of those, he said, Javaris, turning around slowly like a gunslinger in the Old West. I've got one right here. He pulled out his own gun, already loaded, cocked it, and pointed it at Gilbert.
Oh.
Well, other players who'd been casually arriving, laughing and joking with each other, came to a sudden halt, their eyes bugging out. It took them only a few seconds to realize this was for real, a shoot-around of a whole different nature. They all looked at each other, and then they ran. The last man out, locking the door behind him.
See, I didn't know that. So Crittenden pointed a loaded weapon at him and cocked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, listen, y'all know who you're fighting, right?
Yeah.
Dude may know MMA. So, Dude may have a loaded gun, too.
Caron Butler stayed and basically talked Javaris down, reminding him his entire career, not to mention his life, would be over if he flicks the trigger.
Wow.
They both slowly lowered the gun. They could make a movie out of this,
but four guns were unloaded. One gun was chambered and cocked.
Yeah.
That's the guy you got to be afraid of.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.